We'd like to give you all a very warm welcome
this afternoon. We do indeed thank you for coming. It's most encouraging to see the hall so well filled for the afternoon meeting for the ministry of the Word of God. We appreciate that and look to the Lord for his blessing to be upon his work. You will remember the gospel meeting this evening here. Mr. Crawford will be here in Woodland for the preaching of the gospel. Mr. Elton Fairfield. And then in the Victoria Drive Assembly and, of course, the other assemblies that are represented, there will be the preaching of the gospel in all of these places, I think, all at the same time at 7:30. And then please remember that in the Victoria Drive Assembly from Monday to Thursday, in the will of the Lord, there will be ministry meetings when we will be back there, Mr. Crawford and myself, from Monday to Thursday only. We regret very much having to go home. I'm sure Mr. Crawford's not going home, but I'm going home and looking forward to it, I may tell you. But so we've only got from Monday to Thursday of this incoming week at 8 o'clock each evening, and we will be very glad to see all who can come and share with us in the fellowship and ministry at that time. Now, the meetings are announced subject to the will of the Lord, and we look to him for his help and blessing. Now, I want to read a verse, please, in the Gospel by Matthew and in chapter 23. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. And I want to read only one verse, really, and it's verse number 23 of the same chapter. Matthew 23 and verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. And that's all I want to read, which may seem a little strange, and I will confess to not having heard anybody ever read it before in a meeting, so that I have no quotations or notes to call upon for the subject before us. I would also say that the subject I have in mind, I may feel fairly naturally unqualified for it. It is also not a Sunday afternoon subject, perhaps, but I would want to speak a word on weight watching. Weight watching. Now, that's maybe not the best time of the day for us to be thinking about it, and I would be, as I say, not the best qualified person to speak about it. But I want to look at the Scriptures, and I've read this one verse, not that we will concentrate upon it solely, but it will serve perhaps as a text, and I will give you a number of Scriptures that I have been linking together and thinking about, and you can trace through them, but we shall use as a text, as it were, for our message, "Thou hast left undone the weightier matters." And what I want to try and do is to trace through the Scriptures a number of ways in which the Christian needs to be a weight watcher. Now, I know it's a familiar term and it's well coined in the world today, but we're thinking of the spiritual content. How I need to be a weight watcher in the things of God. I want to think, first of all, in our meditations upon that, of the weights that God puts on his scales. I want to watch those. The kind of things that God weighs. And so that will help me, I believe, as I go through life, and as I am on the road of Christian experience, I want to be a weight watcher in that sense. Look at what God is weighing. Constantly take a look at them. Then I want to notice the weights that God gives me to carry, because that's an important aspect of weight watching. And God has set out clearly in his word throughout the passages of Scripture a number of burdens or weights that I am responsible to bear. I need to take a look at them from time to time. I need to be conscious of the demands that God is placing upon my life and certain responsibilities that must be shouldered. I can't be ignorant of that. I need to keep an eye on that aspect of Christian life. Then I need to take a look at the weights that others are bearing. I need to be a weight watcher in that sense. I need to watch carefully the kind of weights that other people are carrying. Sometimes we hear people say about doing a bit of weightlifting. I wonder, have we done a bit of weightlifting in that sense lately? Bearing one another's burdens. And so it's the weights
that other people are carrying that I want to keep an eye on for my spiritual benefit.
And then to take a look perhaps as well at the weight that I might yet carry in a day to come. For Paul, you know, looks out into the future. And really he's looking at that kind of thing. He's a weight watcher in the spiritual sense. And he says, you know, this light affliction which is but for a moment worketh for me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
And so he's checking the scales, as it were, and he's looking down the and considering carefully how things are going, not in view of a visit here or there or another thing to be worked at in life, but in view of a coming day. He says, I'm thinking about a weight of glory that I might be able to bear in a day that's coming if I run the race of life successfully and if I am careful about how I handle the things of God down here.
Now that's more or less what I have before us, and you'll see that it fits in a very simple way, and yet we hope may be helpful as we meditate upon the scriptures that present the believer in this very simple and yet remarkable way as being a weight watcher in Christian life. What about the weights that God weighs? Have I taken a look at God's scales lately? Am I aware of the kind of weights that God is interested in? As I make the daily, weekly, monthly, yearly check on my own weight, do I ever take a look at the kind of weights that God has taken an interest in? When I turn to the book of Job, chapter 28, verse 25, it speaks about him making a weight for the wind, weighing the waters by measure. When I look at Isaiah 40, it's comprehending the dust in a measure and weighing the mountains in a scale. Isn't it amazing to think that God is interested in the vastness of weights like that? That's the kind of God I'm coming to. That encourages me in Christian life to know that when I bow to pray, and when I seek the mind of God for his guidance and for his blessing, I'm not coming to someone who handles merely, and I'm speaking of merely in a comparative way, who handles merely the affairs of this present world and handles thrones and governments, but the very mountains are just weighed in the scales of God. He handles those weighing the waters by measure, just the way the dear sister might measure out carefully in those jars that are so clearly marked and tell you whether it's a pint or a litre or whatever it is, just weighing out as it comes that little quantity. The oceans are weighed by God like that. He can tell them all. As we put into the scales of flour, the mix of whatever might be the ingredients, and even as you, dear sisters, are doing that on a day-to-day basis, never forget the God that you belong to weighs the mountains and dust of earth like that. No wonder we sing, O Lord my God, then I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made. How great thou art! The majesty, the power of all that God is involved in. Dear brethren and sisters today, this is the kind of God we can safely trust to get us through life until we reach the other side. Look at the weight, look at God's scales. I would think I would term this the scope of his scales. The scope of his scales. Look at the mighty balances of eternity. Look at the scales of the divine hand. Look at all the way in which the oceans are but a drop in the bucket, and look at all the majesty. Scan the world today, dear young believer. We feel feeble, and we are. We feel pretty helpless, and we are. But I tell you this, we belong to a God with whom all things are possible. And in his balance, and in his scales, mountains are weighed. On the dust of the earth, he draws together and estimates correctly every particle that is found on the sands of time. The scope of his scales, the mountains, the sand, the earth, the dust, and all of that combined. But then I notice, you know, that it speaks about weighing man in his scales. What did he say to Belshazzar? Belshazzar, I have weighed all your kingdoms. I know exactly the gold that you possess. I know the extent and limits of the earth that you're governing. He says, Belshazzar, thou art weighed in the balances. And that reminds me that the God who weighs the mighty oceans and the mountains in their extremity, from Everest's peak down to the lowly mountains in our own little country, he's interested as well as that in the individual. Thou art weighed You say, well, surely, you know how it is, the balance is, if you had your kitchen scales out, my dear sister, let me speak to the brethren in this respect, but if you had the kitchen scales out and were weighing, if I had the scales yonder to weigh 50 kilos of coal, we have every bag that's filled, you know, back home, every bag is weighed. And that will come down a chute until the little needle comes up to 50 kilos and then it cuts off. Then we push the button. Then we know it's filled. That's the weight of it. Well, I wouldn't take those home for my wife to weigh the kitchen ingredients out. And if I wanted to send a letter to Ireland a little heavier, I wouldn't put those on the scale that I weigh 50 kilos of coal. I wouldn't set it on the bathroom scales. I wouldn't set it on the kitchen scales. You know the little tiny balance that is involved in the weighing of a letter, so light, so delicate. It's amazing to think that the God who puts mountains on a scale can put an individual there. We preach that in the gospel. Thou art weighed in the balances. And yet the truth is applicable to everyday life as an individual. God is interested in you and in me. And he's carefully observing the details of my life. You might think, well, there's nobody really knows much about me and I've never become well known. Each individual here today, whether it's the third or fourth generation, as far as believers or assembly life is concerned, or whether you're here today and you haven't a member of a family that has ever been brought to the Savior, I want to tell you, God is interested in you. God is interested. There from highest glory to a man upon Babylon's sand, he says, thou art weighed in the balances. That should be a weight watcher with that in mind. God's watching. God is interested. Not only mighty, but meticulous. And then I come down to think of a verse like Samuel, 1 Samuel 2 and 3. By him actions are weighed. By him actions are weighed. So he's not getting really the big man or the small man or whoever size we might be and putting them on the scale and saying, now, you know, Tom's doing this or like Tom's weight. No, no. It's the actions that are weighed. It's what a man's really doing. What a man's really doing. It's not so much the big volume or content of all that he's involved in. It's not how many conference cards he has in his cupboard or his drawer. It's not the thickness of the sermons of his Bible. It's by him actions are weighed. Action. We have a little hymn, I think it's in one of the hymn books here, surely. Deeds of merit as we thought them, he will tell us were but sin. Little acts we had forgotten, he will tell us were for him. My grandmother used to say, there's not too many of those little acts we have forgotten, for we usually remember them all fairly well. But by him actions are weighed. And that's what really counts. That's what's giving the content to spiritual life. It's not so, it's what he began to do and to teach. You know the principle that's seen? Sometimes we have far more volume or weight in terms of matter and all that we say and all that we proclaim. But really living for God is a matter of actions being done. And God weighs that in his balance. Maybe there's an action we have done. Maybe someone has been helped. Maybe a kindly word that has been spoken. God puts that in his balance. So that's a plus point, if you pardon that. That's something positive. By him, actions are weighed. Now tell me, in light of all that, however simple it might be, when I think of the scope of his balance, have I been a weight watcher in those matters? Have I taken a look at the divine scales? Encompassing great and small, majesty and just the individual. All that a man, a kingdom, a world can do, and what a man can do, or a woman as an individual, by him actions are weighed. Now that's the scope of God's scales. I was thinking that we could look at some verses that tell us of the standard of God's scales, the standards by which he judges. You know, if I was, you know, as I say, going along, Prince, just take the ordinary round of life that I would be working at, and I would go along to down to the docks in Belfast or other parts, and we'd fill up the bags, fill each one individually, pack it onto the truck, and then deliver it. Going along the roads in the area where I live, I could be, in fact it happened to me once, but it could happen any day. a truck pulls in front of me. I said, we just like to check the bags that you have on your truck now. I said, oh, well, that's okay. There's 60, 100. No. It's not the number of them. We want to check the weight of them. And these are called the weights and measure control. So they get the bags off my truck and set it on a scale. I said, no, but just a minute now. I weighed all those before I left, you know. Those are all 50 kilos. Yes, but that's okay. But we have a... No, but I've checked them all. But we have a standard by which it's measured. We have a scale here. And we will tell you if your balance is accurate. We have a standard that we work by. I could protest the whole day about the liability of scales somewhere else, but they have a standard. You know, in our line of business, as in every line of business, I have seen grown men pale. Big men. You know, most people who work at that kind of job aren't my size. They're usually a fair bit bigger than me to handle that kind of thing. And I have seen men of stature, powerfully built, that could just have the 50 kilos in one hand. I've seen them pale and run and drive their truck as fast as they could. Why? To escape the weights and measures standard. Why? Faulty. And so God says, weighed in an even balance, Job 31. Proverbs 11, a just weight is his delight. Proverbs 16, all the weights of the bag are his work. Deuteronomy 25, thou shalt not have divers weights. Now put all those together. We wouldn't have time, nor is it my purpose to go into them all in detail this afternoon. But it's just to show you that God has standards by which he weighs. And when I'm doing something, I've got to be conscious. Is this up to God's standard? It might look good to me, just in the illustration given. It might look pretty full. It might feel pretty heavy. But there are standards by which that is weighed. Now tell me, how about all of us? Are we measuring by God's standards? You remember what Judas said? This ointment might have been sold and given to the poor. 300 pieces of silver, however it was. 200 pieces. Saul says, oh, we'll keep the best and we'll sacrifice it to the Lord. The Lord said, destroy everything. You see, those were people who made mistakes, both of them on the grounds of economy. We're very economic in our planning at times. But Judas says, no, keep off the altar that which God wants. Sell it. Give it to the poor. This is against the day of my burial as you've done this. Saul says, put on the altar what God doesn't want. Samuel says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And both of the people made mistakes as far as their economy or economics were concerned. One wanted to keep back what God did want, and the other wanted to put on the altar what God didn't want. May we have help to live by the standards that are divine. Assembly life, individual life. I come to certain conclusions. I think, well, I think I should do something here, and I think I should be engaged in something else, and I think it would look helpful. What does the Bible say? We've been encouraged this past week under our brother's ministry as we see the standards that are set. Not a code of rules that the brethren of any particular assembly get together to draw up, but back to the principles and precepts of the book. These are God's standards in individual and assembly life. And these are what God requires. The evenness of the balance. I think it's good to remember that in business. I don't know if there's any business people here or not. Certainly maybe not in the same way as I would be or think about it, trying to do at home. Shame on us if we undersell the standards, undermeasure the standards. Do I need to say that? Probably not. But I would have been one man ashamed if they had measured those bags and my name had been on the paper under the weights and standard regulation, found short weight. Hope we're not selling short weight now in business. Hope we're not cutting any corners. I hope we're not in some way or other lowering the standards. Remember that testimony will suffer. Testimony upright, above the counter, selling an article for what it really is, selling it for what it's really worth, a just balance, an even balance, all the weights of the bag are his balance, thou shalt not have divers weights. picture is seen to be given out, you know, weighing out to someone. Well, here's somebody coming along. We'll put this weight on the balance for him, you know. We'll measure it against that. Some other customer comes along. We'll dig into the bag and we'll measure it by another standard. No partiality. We had that this morning in the little Bible reading, the Bible class along in Victoria Drive. It's a great evil of our day, the sin of partiality. One standard for my family, another standard for somebody else's family. One standard for my ministry, another standard for somebody else's ministry. Thou shalt not have divers weights. Be the same man and woman all the time. The same standards for the ministry all the time. The same standards for the families of the saints all the time. Not one for mine and one for somebody else's. Such is an abomination to the Lord. Now these are the things, very simply and quickly, these are the things that God wears. This is the scope of his balance. These are the standards by which. Now you can trace those scriptures and look at them with more time. Now the weights that God gives me to carry. What he gives me to carry. I was thinking of the book of Ezra, chapter 8. I see those men starting out from Babylon, heading back towards Jerusalem for the rebuilding of the temple. They're given into their care golden vessels. And they weighed them when they left. And they weighed them when they arrived. And the point was this, there was nothing to be lost on the journey. They weighed them before they left, a long, arduous journey, weighed in the confines, in the chambers of the house of God. Oh, I thought that was important, you know. They weighed them in the chambers of the house of God as they set out on the journey. When they got to the other side, they weighed the vessels another time. But they're going to lose something on the way. God gave them weights to carry. My beloved brethren and sisters, we have been listening these nights to weighty ministry that God has entrusted to us. We've been handed down a treasure of testimony. Paul could write it to Timothy, and his Timothy has passed it on to others. The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And here we are today, and our brothers admitting them to us. And a right generation amongst us are learning that. I like to think that the words he spoke were exactly the ministry that Paul was giving. Nothing was lost this week in the telling. Now that's not true in every place. There are places where pills and practices are seen. And if Paul were back amongst us, he would never realize or recognize the ministry that he gave and the standards that he set. What's happened? Something's been lost on the journey. If we weighed the matter today, and if we weighed the ministry and see our practices and compared them to the New Testament scriptures, have we carried the weight that God intended us to bear? Are they still intact? Are the principles there unchanged? Are those clear, simple illustrations and determinations of the Word of God, can they still be recognized? There they went at the end of the journey, as Ezra and those men arrived in Jerusalem, and they weighed them in the chambers of the house of God. There they were. You might have said, well, it's a long journey, you know. I mean, you can't expect to arrive with everything. You think of all the pitfalls on the road and enemy territory and all the difficulties of crossing the land from Babylon to Jerusalem. We can't expect to just all arrive with everything intact. There's bound to be something lost. You know, we despair even getting about and moving around from place to place. How little things can be lost. Now you say, well, that's just, you know, even suitcases are lost in travels. You say, well, that's just the hazards of the journey, you know, that's just traveling. The men that carried the vessels in Ezra's day, they weighed them at the other side with the responsibility that God was interested. Do we handle the truth like that? Or just assume, well, it doesn't really matter if we lose a few things? Does it really matter if a few truths go overboard? Does it matter if we miss out a few points? Does it matter if we toss off a covering or two? Does it really matter? Going through the desert, the tabernacle coverings were observed in detail. They didn't say, well, we'll put the blue on top today, we'll put the red on, and we'll just leave the badger skin off today, it's a nice day. No, every single detail was observed along the journey. And that was true as far as the vessels were carried. And that was the weight of the gold. The weight of the gold, God saw that it was preserved in the hands of his people. I come to think about Paul in Hebrews 13 and 2 Corinthians 4.
speaks about bearing reproach in Hebrews 13. The writer there takes up the passage, unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus. These were weights that men were carrying. In another sense, bearing reproach, bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus. Do we know anything about that kind of weight? Have we felt it lately? When we've checked in unto at night after a busy day, got down to the scales of the Word of God, do we know anything about carrying weights like that? Not only the truth, but the testimony. Not only the standards of the Word of God, but the effectiveness of that that is known in our life. Ah, we could say, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Some of us carry very little weight in that respect now. Some of us carry very little weight. Very little weight of the sufferings or the reproach of a Christ, of a Savior, of a Lord that has been rejected. Very little weight in our lives of that identification with the Lord himself. We go through the world very lightly. We just get on with our own business and our own things and our own family and our own time. But about Paul and about these servants in the days of the Scriptures, there was a weight upon their shoulder that identified them with those that bear and bore a blood-bought name. May God help us to check out the weights that God would expect us to carry in that respect as well. And God says, Paul says, there hath no temptation taken you but that which ye are able to bear, and God will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. The weight of grief, the weight of gold we've thought about, but some folks carry a fairly heavy load of grief and burden. We've been thinking about a number today and remembering our brethren and sisters, not only in this country and in the United States, but in other parts of the world, and God has given them a burden to carry. We feel for them. We pray for them. Their load is difficult. Sometimes it's the weight of a family that have no time for the Savior. Sometimes it's a weight of sickness and illness and their own experience. Sometimes it's the weight of grief and sorrow and bereavement and sadness and all that kind of business. And yet, says the Apostle, he will with the testing or the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear. Well, sometimes we need to just take a little check on these matters. We need to watch the weights that God gives us to carry. And we need to look up consciously and constantly. And then we think of Hebrews 12, you know, Hebrews 12, there's a weight to be lost. Some of us really would need to pay a bit of attention as far as that's concerned in the personal sense. But he talks about, you know, Hebrews 12 is interesting. It talks about losing weariness. It talks about losing weakness. It talks about losing a war. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. It talks about losing a way. You lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knee, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but that it rather be healed. All of these business. And then it talks about losing weight. Let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. May God help us, not only to look at the weight that he carries, that's the first point, but to look at what God expects us to carry, its relevance to our lives as individuals, and to be watching, to have an eye on the divine scale, to have an eye on the human scale, that God says to me now, that's the burden, that's the weight, that's the load that I am entrusting to you at this particular time. Check it in, check it out. May we have help to bear it honorably and before the Lord in a sense of responsibility. Now just to mention the burdens and the weights that others bear. Galatians 6, well, how do we look at it today for a minute or two? Bearing one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. The times in my life when I could look back to difficulties and trials and afflictions of one kind or another, nothing maybe too dramatic in comparison to other dear saints, but, you know, there was something precious about someone coming alongside and being able to share the burden. Just to feel a shoulder. Just to feel a help. There was a time
a few years back when I was glad of a shoulder just to walk around when I couldn't get out of bed and couldn't move about at all. And I was glad of a shoulder and then a stick and then a crutch and then something else. And just, I appreciated all the help that was given. And many a time in those kind of days, some of the saints would have called and cheered you. A little of the burden lifted. Paul could say he took courage when he saw the brother. I hope we're good at lifting one another's burdens. There's a weightlifting exercise for young men in the meeting, bearing one another's burdens.
Just to draw near to the saints, and just to put a shoulder underneath the load.
My father, I told you about him one night, and I was talking about his business. He was in the coal business, and his father before that. And I was just a boy. I used to go down. He had a lorry by that time. The days of the horses were past. And there used to be, well, maybe one or two might remember the old Queen's Bridge in Belfast as you were going along and up over the Queen's Bridge right to the east of the city. It was a fairly, where the docks used to be and all the ships used to gather, and you said goodbye to the missionaries there. And you went along in front of the old dock and turned over the bridge. Well, the coal was loaded in the docks. And for the vans, at that time it was horse and vans, they used to go up and over the Queen's Bridge and over to the east of the city. And at the bridge, just at the end of the docks, there stood a great stallion, a great big horse. And the first time I saw it, I said to my dad, what's he doing there, you know, standing there? He says, son, that's the trace horse. I said, trace horse? What's a trace horse? And he said, there are horses coming along with a load of coal. But over that little ridge is difficult. And he said, they hook on this great, massive, big stallion right on the front, and he pulls with it. And so many a time after that I saw the trace horse putting it on in front of the horse and van, and together they would go over the hill, over the hardest part until level ground was reached. We need trace horses amongst the saints now, respectfully speaking. We need those that will join on to the front of the weary traveller. We need those that will be fit and strong for the burden that I might be sharing. Now, the trace horse didn't pull the whole van. They didn't put the other horse out and put the big fella in. No, he went on the front. And together, I can still see the picture in my mind, together up the hill and over the other side. Brethren and sisters, bear you one another's burdens. Let us be weight watchers in that respect. Let us be weight watchers of the highest order. And let us think, and I must finish at that, let us think of the weight that we might bear. Oh, look ahead. Paul says, well, I see all God's doing. It cheers my heart. He says, I see he's interested in an individual just like me. That encourages me. He says, I look at the scales and see what God has given me to carry. I want to be a weight watcher in those respects, and even for others. But oh, he says, I'm looking on to another day. I'm looking on to another. The glory shines before me. I cannot linger here. He says, this light affliction, mind you, wasn't too light. Read 2 Corinthians 11. Read those chapters. Read the book of the Acts. This light affliction with work, which is but for a moment, worketh for me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Wonder how it'll look on the other side. Some of us are going to be far too heavy here, but I wonder will there be lightweights on the other side, mind you. I wonder will there be lightweights over there. Not too much of eternal glory. Shirk the responsibility here. Didn't fulfill the responsibility. Went in for the world and its ways and were careless about spiritual things. Says Paul, there's an eternal weight of glory. He says, aye, not for me only, but for all them also that love his appearing. May God help us to be weight watchers in the spiritual sense as we think of these challenges from his word today.